The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Let's be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So today I'll be teaching us on, or we continue from where we stopped last week. We were basically answering questions concerning our faith. I said something last week. I said questions are more important than answers. Remember I said that? Questions are more important than answers. Why? It is questions that would give birth to answers. And I told you last week, I said some of the very important teachings Jesus did in the Bible were products of questions. There are many things possibly Jesus would not have addressed in the world if there were no men who were asking questions. For instance, in John chapter 3, like I said last week, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, and Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? And Jesus went on to explain, talked about being born of water, being born of the Spirit. And then we got to even John 3:16, where he said, what was that, John 3:16 again? For God so loved the world, you know. Those verses wouldn't have come if Nicodemus didn't ask that question. And so, you know, I said last week, one of the most important things for if you must grow in the world as a believer is that you must be asking questions. I said last week, one of the things that was done to the church is we are taught not to ask questions. And so they just say, this is this, take it like that. Don't ask anything, just accept this is it. You know, I hear things like, just like I was sharing with you last week, you know, what we are told those days. They will tell you things like, as I was asking questions then, I was like, why shouldn't guys wear scarves or caps in the church? You know? And then I asked another question, if you say guys must not wear, why do some people in some churches wear it? Let's say some priests, right? Some priests or maybe bishops. So I wanted to know, and some of those questions, I was not being mischievous, I was being very sincere. As I started growing as a Christian, when I started asking questions. But then I will always explain, there is a difference between asking questions and questioning authority. And so, there is nothing wrong with a believer asking for clarity. So I don't get this. And so some of the questions that have come up so far in church are the things I want to take time to address. You see, and I understand why I'm going to these basics. I understand that we are a growing church. And because we're a growing church, people will be coming in. You get the point? So you always hear me going over what I've said sometimes. Like there are some questions that people ask, and then you'll be wondering, are you the one asking this kind of question? But you must understand people are growing, and more people are coming. And so maybe I would have addressed some of these things sometime last year, earlier this year I would have addressed this, but then I'm going over it again, because people are asking those questions. And each time we go over it, we'll try to bring more clarity to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So last week we were looking at the anointing oil and feet washing. And today I will proceed to talk about tithing and first fruits. Tithes and first fruits. Tithes and first fruits. You know, sometime last year, maybe last 2 years, the body of Christ in Nigeria wanted to tear into two because of tithes all over the place. This thing made a lot of ministers quarrel. And then, you know, and because it was good, yeah. But what paid me in that particular, with that particular saga was that the person that steered up the argument was not even a minister, per se. You know, but that revealed the shallowness in many churches. And you found out that many believers were practicing stuffs that they didn't even understand. And I remember that time I did a post on Facebook to address something like this. And one of the most interesting experiences I had with that post on tithes, I think, what did I call it? I forgot what I called that post. Is it on Facebook? And one of those things, one of the comments I got, because he had a lot of comments, you know, somebody came and said, well, is Bishop this a tither? Yes. Is Pastor this a tither? Yes. If is Pastor this a tither? Yes. If all these people are tithing, then I will keep tithing. It doesn't matter what you are showing me from the Bible. And I was shocked. They still go and check the post. It's still there. I didn't delete it. Hallelujah. And that tells you where the Nigerian church is. It doesn't matter. All I know is, and other people came and said, well, a lady wrote, said, what you're writing is just so convincing, but this has been working for me. I remember I told you last week, it's not about what works. Remember I told you? If you build your theology on what is working, then you're going to get into error. Because a lot of things might not be right, but they work. And I showed you last week when Moses was asked of God to go strike the rock. And so he struck the rock and water came out. And then the Lord said, this second time, don't strike again. Go and speak to the rock. And Moses disobeyed and struck the rock. But then water still came out. And that tells you that the absence or the presence of water does not mean that what he did was correct. You see what I'm saying? So there can be results whether it is right or wrong. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. And so I'm going to be answering the question of tithing. And I said last week, many of us would have answers to this. But what I want to do is not to answer, should we tithe, yes or no. That's not what I want to answer today. What I want to do is to show you from the Bible so that when you are arguing or when you are believing anything, you will be strong. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 14, that's where you see the first mention of not even the word tithing, but where you see the first mention of one-tenth. Of course, tithe means one-tenth. 1/10 of everything you own. So in Genesis 14, I will not read it, just from verse 1 to 24, right in your book, so that I can be running. We see the story of Abraham. The story is Abraham went for a battle, and then he was coming back, and then on his way back, he had won the battle. These are very important details, because I've heard people say that Abraham gave 1/10 to the Lord, and the Lord helped him win the battle. Don't miss these details. He had won the battle, and he was coming back. I get what I'm saying. He was on his way back. And he met a man called Melchizedek. And then he gave Melchizedek 1/10. Not of his income, but 1/10 of the spoils from the battle. You know what I mean by the spoils? What are the spoils? What are spoils? Okay, you know book. I thought you would say if it maybe remaybe. So he gave him 1/10 of the spoils. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Yeah, are you sure that's not what he wanted? He gave him 1/10 of the spoils. And then why I normally start with this story is that this happened before the law. Remember I explained the law to you. I said this happened when? Before the law. That's Genesis. The law was given in Exodus. And so Abraham gave Melchizedek 1/10 of what he got from the battle, and he gave him that 1/10 way before the law. And so that tells you some things. The question is, where did Abraham learn to give 1/10? The answer is, he decided to give 1/10. Because prior to Genesis 14, we've not seen this thing being practiced at all. You know what I'm saying? It was not a practice. It was not even commanded. And then you will see later in Genesis 28, put up that one, verse 20, you will see Jacob promise to do the same thing. Of course, we can trace where he learned his own from. He must have heard of his grandfather Abraham. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and would give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Because when he was running away from Esau, verse 22, And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you. And so he promised, whether he kept it or not, I don't know, but he promised he was going to give one tenth. And he said that is when the Lord does these things. Very emphatic too, to note that Jacob did not say, I would give all this, or I will give one tenth so that the Lord will do these things for me. What did he say? When the Lord does it, I will give him one tenth. Are you what I'm saying? These are very important points to note. He said he will give him. But then, you also know that at this point, there was still no law. So this was a personal decision Jacob took. This is what I'm making. We'll revisit when I'm closing. Because people have said things like, there's something like tithing. You see, and it makes it look like the number 10 is a bad number. Say, I give him one tenth. That's bad. No. I'll still address that later. Abraham decided to give one tenth. Nobody forced him. And God never complained about it. Jacob too decided to give one tenth. Nobody forced him. God never complained about it. Hallelujah. This will be the only time you see this happen before the law. And then under the law, you will now see the word tithe appear. The word tithe will first of all appear, so you know, when God began to give them instruction. Now, it was no longer a question of choice. The Lord now gave them tithing, or to tithe, as a commandment, as a law. As a law. And you know one thing about the law that I've explained to you? The law was something that is something that you must keep, and if you do not keep it, it attracts consequences. I know what I'm saying. The law was something you must keep. And so the law was given. Leviticus 27, let's get that, verse 30. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, I'd like you to take note of this, we are reading. Every detail is very important. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is of the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Verse 31. And if a man will at all redeem aught of all of his tithes, he shall add dear to the feet thereof, okay? And concern the tithe of the head or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Okay? He shall not search whether it be good or bad. Let me ask you a question. As I've explained to you, when the Bible says this thing shall be holy unto the Lord, what does it mean? Set apart, right? It means to be set apart. So the Lord said, set apart one tenth of your income. Not income now. Of what? Huh? Go to verse 30. Because that's one point you need to note. One tenth of what? You will observe, because that's the first part I'm going to make. We're going to study tithing under the law and see what it stands for. Okay? You observe that under the law, whenever they were asked to tithe, they were only asked to tithe food, crops, edibles, animals, livestock. It must be things that can be eaten. Look at this. Tithe of the land, of the seed, of the tree. I see the point. It must be edibles. You will notice that, but let me show you that again. In Deuteronomy 12:17, you will see that tithes are always edibles. Deuteronomy 12 verse 17. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, or thy oil, or the firstlings of thy herds, of thy flock, nor any of the vow. You see the point? Everywhere it mentions tithe, you will see either crops or animals. I see the point. So they were expected to tithe. You see, and when I get to that point, I will show you. That's where you observe that in Israel, they never tithed until they entered Canaan. And the reason was because it was until they entered Canaan that they could own lands. Are you what I'm talking about? Until they could own lands, they never tithed. It was always crops. Look at Nehemiah 13 verse 5. Nehemiah 13 verse 5. Let me just... Nehemiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense and the vessels, and the tithes. Now, he mentions tithes again. Look at the tithes mentioned. Tithes of what? The corn, and the oil. Can you see? Whenever he mentions tithes, it's always about what to eat. You will see this again in verse 12. Go to verse 12. Verse 12. Of Nehemiah. They then brought all the Judah, the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil into the treasuries. Everywhere you will see tithe is about edibles. Are you still here? Chapter 10, verse 37. Chapter 10, verse 37 of Nehemiah. And that we should bring the first fruit of our dough and of our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees of wine and oil unto the priest to the chambers of the house of our God and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites. You see, it's always about what you harvest or what you grow. It's edibles. And listen, don't get what I did not say. I did not say that in the Old Testament they were not giving money. No. I said when it comes to the issue of tithing, you will not see anywhere in the Old Testament where they were asked to tithe money. Are you getting me? Now, everything I'm saying is subject to study. You can go and look at them again. Hallelujah. In fact, Jesus mentioned tithing somehow. Matthew 23 verse 23. Matthew 23 verse 23. So tithe is always, and then, okay, well, if I say that, Matthew 23 verse 23. We are not repenting today. You know, the way you put repent on the screen. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay what? Tithe of mint, anise, and cumin. What are these things? What is mint, anise, cumin? If I go to the Hebrew or to the Greek, put up amplified. What are these things? Because you find that Jesus was rebuking them. Look at the text, you guys pay, you see, want to use this amplified, scribes and Pharisees, for you give a tenth of your mint and dill and cumin. Okay, they even show that. NLT, New Living Translation. Let's, before I take you to the Greek of that, what sorrow, this obeyed it. What sorrow awaits you teachers of the religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. So what are those three things? Mint. You are not serious. That word hint means is the Hebrew word, the Greek word rather, hedosmon. It means a sweet scented plant for cooking. Okay? That word, forget it, don't try to write it. That word, you see, the word anise is the Greek word anethon. It means herbs. In fact, it actually means vegetables. And the word cumin means spice, like curry. You get the point? Do you have like message Bible here? Let's see message Bible. Let's see message Bible. You are hopeless, you religion scholars and Pharisees, frauds. You keep meticulous, regular account books, tithing on every nickel and dime you get. Well, but on the meat of God's law, but point is, he didn't show that, but then the Greek words I showed you represents. So what Jesus was rebuking them was, you guys tithe every food, even vegetables. You can imagine that rebuke. Even curry. So they tithe to that. You get the point? So what I'm trying to show you is, everything about tithing was about food. And somebody once told me that the reason why Jesus asked them to tithe only food and then animals was because all of them were farmers. But you know that's not true. Everybody in Israel, we are not farmers. At least if you get to Exodus 38, I think verse 23. Let's look at that. Exodus 38, 23. You see, I just want to show you, all of them were not farmers. And with him, he was talking about, he said, with him was Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue, in purple, and in scarlet. So this was a man, you know, what was he doing? He does embroidery. Get the point? He does engraving. This was not farm work. You get the point? So everybody in Israel were not farmers. That's what I'm trying to say. The reason why what they were going to tithe was only foodstuffs was because of the purpose of that tithing. That's the reason. What's the purpose of tithing? Deuteronomy 26 verse 12. It was because of the purpose of tithing. So tithing had a purpose. It was not about money. It was not about everything. It was about food. Deuteronomy 26 verse 12. He said, when thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thy increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, we'll come to this later, and has given it unto which people? The Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled. So tithing was to feed some people. To feed the Levites, to feed the priests, to feed the fatherless, to feed the strangers. That was the purpose of tithing under the law. So it was always about foodstuffs and edibles. Hallelujah. So that's tithing. That's tithing. So you will never see the Bible talk or teach about tithing any other thing. The Bible will teach, the Old Testament will teach giving money, but not as tithe. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Not as tithe. Everywhere you see tithing in the Old Testament, it was about foodstuffs, animals, edibles, herbs, vegetables, meats, spices. Hallelujah. Morning glory. Hallelujah. Now, let me take it a step further. Now, you observe also in the Old Testament, there are three different kinds of tithes. I said this in the post on Facebook, if I remember. There are three different kinds of tithes. Numbers 18 verse 24. You know, whenever we explain this, I explained to somebody, after explaining, the person said, we are not more under the law. I said, then leave tithing alone. Hallelujah. Numbers 18, 24. Let's look at the screen. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given them to which people? Look at your screen. To which people? To the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them among children, okay, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Now continue. And the Lord will continue. Verse 26. Thus speak unto the Levites and say unto them, when you take up the children of Israel, the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, they shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithes. So see the gist of about tithing. The tithes, when the Lord shared, when they entered Canaan, and they divided lands. Now there were this set of people called the Levites and the priests. The Levites were a tribe, all of them were priests. Out of them there were also priests. They were not given any lands for cultivation. They were not given any land for cultivation. So they had no inheritance, no lands. You get the point? And so the Lord now said, why? When they asked the Lord why, the Lord said, I am your portion. And so that means the Levites had no place to cultivate or to farm or to rear livestock. Of course, that depicts poverty. Are you getting the point? But the Lord doesn't want his people to starve or to be hungry or to be poor. So he now says that whatsoever every other person make from their farmlands, a tenth of it. The reason why they had no farmland was because, you see, they were serving the children of Israel spiritually. So instead of dividing their spiritual work and their other farmland and what have you, the Lord said they should have no farmland. So while they serve them spiritually, Israelites were going to work and give them one tenth. So by the time all of us bring our one tenth to these people, they will have enough. I know what I'm talking about. That was the idea. So we call this kind of tithe the Lord's tithe. Some other personally, I call it the priests and the Levites tithe. This particular tithe, whenever you bring it, it goes to the priests and the Levites. And so if this is the Old Testament now, you see, I'm your pastor here. This particular tithe, whenever you bring it, is not used to build church. It's given direct to the priests. It is his own. What they will just do in the Old Testament will be to bring one tenth of that one tenth that was sent. You understand what I'm saying now? And then give it as an offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. But the one tenth, so we call this the Lord's tithe. There's another kind of, okay, let me show you another place where this appeared. Nehemiah 10 verse 37. Nehemiah 10 37. You've seen it before. Look at it again. At Okay, and that we should bring the first fruit of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our grounds unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. So everywhere they were tilling you know what tillage means, right? Everywhere they were tilling the ground, the Levites were to have 1/10 of it. This is called the Lord's tithe, the priest's tithe, the Levites' tithe. It belongs to them. So whenever it comes, it is their food. It is their food. Now, another kind of tithe you find also emphasized in the Bible, Deuteronomy 12, verse 5. I call this, or some Bible scholars call it, the festival tithes. The festival tithes. Some of you are going to like this one. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and there shall ye come. Next verse. And there shall you bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offering and the firstling of the head of your heads and of your flocks. Uh-huh. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God. You shall rejoice in all that you put your hand unto, here in your household wherein the Lord thy God has blessed. The next verse. You shall not do. Continue, but what did he say they should do tonight? They should bring it to a place and eat it. Are you still here? Next verse. Continue. Okay, then verse 11 says, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which shall fall unto the Lord. Say, bring all these things. What do you do in verse 12? And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and your sons and your daughters and your manservants and maidservants and the Levite that is within your gate, for as much. Continue. Take it yourself that you offer. Continue. Okay, continue. Okay, he said, you shall eat all, so don't just eat the blood. Are you getting the story? I'm just trying to read it. Go back to verse 15, let me just show you. He said, near to time, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lusted after. Anything you want to eat, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given you. The unclean and the clean, you may eat. Are you seeing that? Everything. Clean, unclean. The only thing you should not eat in verse 16, okay, would be what? The blood. You shall pour it onto the earth as water. Continue verse 17. Thou may not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil. Okay. Watch this. Watch what I'm showing you. Of the firstlings of thy heads, of thy flock, nor any of thy vows without powers, or thy free will. Continue. He said, don't eat it within your gates. But you must eat them where? Before the Lord. So there were procedures for this. But the balance about this tithing is, you eat it. For the animals and what have you, you eat it in your house. For the corn and every other thing, you bring it to church, the place where the Lord your God has chosen. You sit down there, and we all eat. You will later find out, I think, go to verse 19. Let's end at verse 19. Okay. Go to chapter 14, verse 22. You later find out that this kind of tithe, for instance, what if my tithe is too big that I cannot carry it to church? You know that kind of thing. What do you do? You see what the Lord say? Well, let's look at this. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. Okay? And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to put his name there, the tithe of the corn, of thy wine, of thy oil. What do you do to it? You eat it. And the person of thy head, that man, okay, continue. Say, eat everything. And look at that question I asked you. And if the way be too long for you, so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from you, which the Lord your God has chosen, shall choose to set his name, there, when the Lord your God has blessed you, say, if it's too far, what do you do? Verse 25. Then you shall turn it into money. Look, watch, and bind up the money in your hand, and shall go unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose. What do you do with the money? Verse 26. And you shall bestow the money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatever your soul desires. And you shall eat it. So you sell it, go with the money. When you come to church, buy something. And if the important is that this tithe, hallelujah, is for eating. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so this tithe. So you see the first one, there is one you give to the priest. There is one that is for your stomach. But then there is, you bring it to the Lord's house. So what was this looking like to you? It's looking like love feast. Is it not? It's looking like love feast. You come with everything, enter the church, just sit down, and then everybody's eating his own, you know, awesome time in God's presence. But then there's another type of tithe you will see. Deuteronomy 14, this is 14, verse 28. And at the end of 3 years, now this kind of tithe now should happen how often? Once every 3 years. This type I'm going to explain now. You shall bring all the tithe of your increase the same year and shall lay it up within your gates. Okay, next verse. And the Levite, because he had no part nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow which are within your gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied. So this tithe, what do you do with it? You use it to feed the Levites, but this time not only the Levites, but the poor. So, look, go to verse 30. You just close that. That's the next verse. Okay. Okay, that's the next, last, okay, yes. That's the last verse. But then you notice this kind of tithe, what do? You keep it at your gate. It's for the Levites. Why are you giving the Levites? Because he doesn't have any farmland. But then, this once every 3 years, it's not just for the Levites. It's not for the Levites and the poor, the fatherless. And so you find out that actually, this tithe, once every 3 years, if you're poor or fatherless or whatever, this, that's why you notice the Lord never expected the poor to tithe. Do you get the point? They were actually to be tithed to. You tithe to them. That's what I'm showing you. He said, if you're the tithe, if you're the poor, or the fatherless, or the Levites, you don't tithe. They tithe to you. In fact, chapter 26 verse 12 of Deuteronomy 26 verse 12 and 13. When you have made an end of tithing all the tithes of your increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, as giving it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within your gates and be filled. Okay? Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have brought away the hallowed things and all that. He said, okay, of my house, and also giving all them unto the Levite, unto the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to your commandment. So you notice this tithe is just for them. And so, if you are poor or fatherless, or you are widowed, you see, what should you do in this day? Should you tithe? No. Hallelujah. What I'm even trying to show you is, well, I'm going to make this statement, and I'm going to explain it later. You see, it was even Moses did not tell the people that if you do not tithe, your pocket will be tight. You get the point? He actually advised that if your pocket is tight, people should tithe to you. You understand what I said now? Moses never said, if you do not tithe, your pocket will be tight. What Moses is teaching is, if your pocket is tight, you should be a receiver of tithes and not a giver of it. Leviticus 19 verse 10. Leviticus 19 verse 10. You know, I'm just trying to show you Leviticus 19 verse 10. Moses expected that we care for the poor. We care for the poor. And that's what he was teaching here. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. And so the poor and stranger were special people. So poor and strangers were special people in Israel. You give to them. So even when it comes to tithing, you tithe to them. Why I'm emphasizing this is because, you know, in the church today, we don't care whether you are poor. All you want is just tithe. If not, the Lord will not bless you. That's not what the Bible teaches. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Deuteronomy 24 verse 19. Let me show you. 24 verse 19. Notice you care for the poor, you care for the strangers, you care for the needy. When thou cuttest down thy harvest in thy field, as forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless you. So you notice this. What's happening here is, if you are poor, they should take care of you. And so that same thing applies in tithing too. Hallelujah. Another thing you must know about tithing under the law is that there is no tithing in the seventh year. Once every 7 years, you shouldn't tithe. Exodus 23 verse 9. Once every 7 years, you should not tithe. Do you know why? And also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Continue. And 6 years, thou shalt sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year, thou shalt let it rest, that the poor of thy people may eat. You see, look up. Why don't they tithe in the seventh year? Because in that seventh year, they don't work. They observe that. He said, let your land rest the seventh year. And so because they don't work, they should not tithe anything because they're not working. Are you see here? So what am I trying to show you? Tithing was basically about farm produce, animals, and all that. Now, that's it. That's it. Now, so we've established some things. That before the law, there was tithing. No, there was no tithing, but there were records of men who gave one tenth of what they had. And then another man who promised to give one tenth of what he had. And then under the law, it was given as an instruction, as a law. And three types were commanded. One you give to the priest. That one is for the priest. Then, the other one you eat. Once every 3 years, what do? You give it, this time not just to the priest, but then to the poor, fatherless, and all that. So now let me ask you a question. In this tithing thing, who are the priorities? Who is the priority? The priests. The poor, tithing to the poor happens once every 3 years. You get the point? But the priority, I wanted to see, because I'm going to come back to this tithing thing when we are closing, and I will show you where the New Testament comes into all these things. Hallelujah. Because you already see, and if you're a good Bible student, and if you really have respect for the scriptures, you're already seeing that this is just a law of the Old Testament. I get the point. It's just a law if you have respect. Another verse we're going to look at is Malachi 3 verse 8. Hallelujah. Malachi 3 verse 8. So it's still under the law. It's still under the law. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Continue. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. You notice say that there may be meat, so this is about food too. You see? And prove me now here, which said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now let me say some things about the book of Malachi. One is that the book of Malachi was addressed to the priests. I hope you know that. That one should be somewhere in your head. Can you prove it? I can. In Malachi 1, verse 1, or verse 6 now. Malachi 1, verse 6. It says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be your master, where is my fear? Say the Lord of hosts unto you. Which people? O priests that despise my name. You see in chapter 2, verse 1. That's chapter 1 is to priests. Chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Chapter 3, verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. So this to the priest, he said, he was talking about the children of Levites. But so what was happening here? They were not bringing the tithe into the storehouse. But then, there's something I don't want to miss from this place. Was there a curse here? Yes, there was. Why was there a curse here? Because this was the law. I've heard people try to explain this verse and say that what Malachi is trying to say, see, don't play. He said, you are cursed with a curse if you don't do this. And I've explained the law to you, that the law, when you don't obey it, you are cursed. I hope you know. Because usually under the law, if you don't obey the law, under the law, you'll be cursed. I showed you that Deuteronomy 27, 28, he was cursing them. You say, if you don't obey this, you are cursed. Cursed shall you be outside the house. And people said, amen. Cursed shall you be within your gates. And the people said, amen. So they accepted the curse. So there was a curse for breaking the law. Don't even play. For instance, there was a curse for being a witch. That curse is you should die. And that was what Malachi was saying here. That because the priest refused to bring the tithe into the storehouse, you see, they are cursed. That cause, and that cause has spread over all the nation. Over the nation. And then he said, I said, if you bring one tenth, my house is full, I'll open the floodgates of heaven. That's talking about rain. It's a very simple thing. What were they supposed to tithe? They were supposed to tithe crops. Now they were not tithing, there was no rain. He says, when you begin to bring in that one you are making, I will open heaven. This was how the law functioned. But then because you are not bringing this, what is going to happen is, there will be no rain. Put up verse 10. The floodgates is about rain. No, that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. It's about rain. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And prove me here, we say the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The windows of heaven is about rain. Take it or take it. Amen. But then, what I'm trying to show you is, the truth is, you notice, under the law, a lot of things depended on this tithing. Not just tithing, many other things. If you break the law, there are consequences, true of us. If you keep the law, there are consequences. And this was the law. And that's what Malachi upheld here. Malachi was insisting that the reason why things are going the way it is going is because you guys are not tithing. But then I can tell you strongly, that was Malachi. That was what he was saying. He was under the law. You will find out that when Jesus came, Jesus still talked about tithing. And in a way, he supported it. Have you observed that? Matthew 23 verse 23. Matthew 23 verse 23. We've seen it before. Let's see it again. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted what? The weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. This ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So this verse, he did not criticize tithing. Did you observe that? He said you should have kept the weightier matters, but then it doesn't mean you should not do the other one. Very clear. Very clear. Jesus did not stop tithing here. Luke 18 verse 9. So I've seen tithing under the law, but then we're seeing the gospel just talking about it. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, okay? Two men went up into the temple to pray. You know the story? The guy got down was like, I pay tithe of everything I own. So you see tithe in the gospels. You know this, but Jesus, in this verse actually, Jesus did not actually support tithing. He said, even though the guy paid tithe of everything he owned at the end of the day, that other guy that was praying and saying, a mess belongs to me, a sinner, again, remember that place, went home more justified than him. But then we've seen Matthew 23 verse 23, Jesus actually supported tithe. Let me not say supported it. He didn't condemn it. I think that's the word. He did not condemn it. He said, well, I'm not saying, but notice, key thing is, even that tithing, when he encouraged tithing, he showed that even that tithing is not one of the weightier matters of the law. So even under the law, tithing is not even a weighty matter under the law. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like remove grace, remove New Testament. Even in the Old Testament, tithing is not still weighty. There are weightier matters of the law. He mentions judgment. He mentions mercy. You get the point? That's the weightiest matter of the law. And so even if we say we don't want to go back under the law and practice the law, there are things we must give more attention to and not tithing. So he's saying while you tithe, there are more important things. Are you still here? But then, we are not under the law. Amen? And that makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. Because the system have changed. Why did I mention this? Because you will now find out that when you get down to the epistles, you will not see tithe mentioned from the book of Acts down. The only place you will see tithe is Hebrews 7. Where he was not even encouraging it or discouraging it. He was just telling a story of how Abraham gave one tenth to Melchizedek. That is all. You will not see it at all. The apostles never practiced in the book of Acts. So the question you ask yourself is, how come Jesus encouraged it and the apostles never practiced it? The reason is simple. Because Jesus had to encourage it because Jesus himself was under the law. Like what I'm saying? Please don't miss this. Galatians 4 verse 4. Jesus had to encourage tithing because he himself was under the law. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made where? Under the law. So Jesus came under the law. He was existing, operating under the law. And so he said, so he couldn't actually tell them, don't tithe. But so notice what Jesus did. One of the things I explained to Jesus did throughout the four gospels was to reveal the purity of the law. Remember I said that? The purity of the law. The purity of the law. He would say to them, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt not do this, but I say unto you. He was showing them how tough this law thing is. You remember that? He said, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye. He said, but I say unto you, you see, if they slap you here, turn the other one. You get the point? He got them, he said, you have heard that it was said, this, but I say unto you, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He was showing them how tough this thing is. And so, you see, the Bible tells us he was under the law. But then, he didn't operate under the law that we might operate under the law. How are you sure of that? Go to the next verse. That's verse 5. What did he come to do? Let's read together. Come on, read. What did he say? To redeem them that were where? That we might receive their adoption. Are we sons? Hallelujah. We are sons now. So he came, he was born under the law, operated under the law. The purpose was to redeem people like us that were under the law. And so you see the Bible say things like, Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to do what? To fulfill it. How did Jesus fulfill the law? He went to the cross and fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. The whole requirements, everything the law needed, the wages of sin is death, everything. Jesus fulfilled in fullness the righteous requirements of the law. And so when he fulfilled that, we were set free from the law. So you find out, Romans 6:14 will now tell you, you are not under law. You are under what? God's grace. And so because you are not under the law, and we do not find tithing emphasized in the epistles, like I explained to you last week, we cannot take it. It's amazing that even the Jews, the apostles, the Jews, did not even practice tithing at all in the book of Acts. It was not even mentioned or implied at all. Not once. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still here? It was not mentioned or implied. You see, so you notice, we do not endorse tithing. We don't. The reason is because once you endorse tithing, endorse its blessings and endorse its causes. You get the point? If you say we must tithe, it means if we don't tithe, we should be ready for the causes that will follow. And that's what we do all over the place. And so it will always bring the believer. I have somebody in this church. You know, when he came to me, you know, when he joined church, after some time he started talking to me like, man, that church has really helped him. He said, do I know that before he came here? He said, if anything goes wrong in his life, he will start checking. Have I paid my tithes? Was anybody like that? Start checking. Have I paid my tithes? I'm telling you. He said, even if he has headache, he will start checking. Have I paid my tithes? If your car breaks down, have I paid my tithes? Because what you are taught is, you must pay your tithes. If you do not pay it to God, you pay it to the mechanic. If you don't pay it to the mechanic, you pay it to the doctor. Somehow, you must pay your tithe. And you see that kind of teaching. And it takes us back under the law. And I told you, the system of the law is a system of doing to get. Anything that you do that makes you think that once you do it, God blesses you, and when you don't do it, God starts blessing you, is a system of the law. It's religion. And that's all we received of Christ. Hallelujah. But then, because we are not under the law again. We've been delivered from the law. Ephesians 2 verse 14. In case someone is hearing this message for hearing us for the first time, Ephesians 2, 14 and 15 of this verse. For he is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Next verse, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity. What did he abolish? The law of commandments contained in ordinances. You notice, when, how just abolished the law? When he went to the cross and fulfilled it, the law was abolished. I get the point. So the law has been dealt with. And so we are not men who submit ourselves to keeping the law to as a means to be blessed of God. We are not. If you are confused about this, you should refer to other teachings that we have done. The purity of the law and some of those other teachings. We are not men who live our lives by keeping the law. Jesus fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. And tithing is of the law. And you know, James said something. Okay, was it James? Before I go to James. Galatians 5. You know, we saw this last week. Galatians 5. Saw this on Sunday. 5 verse 1. Okay, see, if you look at this. He said, put up NLT. Let's just look at it. Now, let's read this NLT from the screen. Are you there? Okay, let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on. Is that not everybody? Now, make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the Lord. Next verse, verse 2. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you're counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. Now, verse 3 is what I'm going to. I say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, wait, or by tithing. You see, when he mentions being circumcised, he's referring to the practice of the law. He said, if you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised or by tithing or by anything about the law, what must you do? You must obey every regulation in the whole of Moses. That's the game. So if you're going by tithing and you're faithful to your tithe, make sure you're faithful to every other thing that the law commands. Make sure. Hallelujah. We don't do this. We won't do this. I don't have strength. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's that about tithing. I will still say some things about tithing, but let's stop it at this point. Let's get to first fruits. That will be very short. So we find out tithing emphasized under the law, not emphasized at all in the epistles, not even practiced, not even implied. Nothing. Why? Because it's not a practice, it's a practice of the law. And notice why it was not emphasized was because once you begin to emphasize it, you must emphasize its blessing and its curses. So it brings us onto a system of performance. Performance. We're trying to do something. And so many people believe today that why they are not poor is because they are not tithing. As I said, it's like if your pocket is tight, check your tithe. You see, and those things are very crazy. They're very crazy. And somebody will ask me about this working for some people. Yes, it is. It is. Like I said last week, when I was talking about the anointing oil, he says about anointing oil, it works for people. I explained that to you. When James talked about that, he said the prayer of faith shall what? Shall save the sick. And tithing works. You know why? Because once you pay your tithe, something in you believes that God will now bless you. It is that faith. I get the point. So it's that faith that will bring whatever to you. That's just the game. And that's why you find that once you stop paying, something starts going wrong. Because once you stop, your faith is attached to your performance. It's attached to your doing. So once you stop paying, it things start going down. Because you've trained your heart to believe that this is what brings the blessing. I see the point now. So tithing, it works for them. Yeah, it does. But it's not about what works. Hallelujah. Leviticus 23 verse 9, let's look at that. We're talking about first fruits now. Of course, a practice of first fruits is that which teaches that the believer should bring, or the people should bring, every first of everything they make. Leviticus 23 verse 9, and the Lord spoke unto Moses saying, okay, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you. You notice this was not to be practiced until they entered Canaan. Do you observe that? Okay, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto a sheep again, the priests. Okay, Numbers 18 verse 12. You find out that this is still about farm produce. Numbers 18 verse 12. All the best of the oil. See, I'll come to this verse later when I'll be closing. This possible verse I'm going to close with. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them which they shall offer to the Lord, them have I given you. He was talking to the priests. So the priests, you are the ones that owned the first fruits. So you find out again that the purpose of this first fruit was what? The priests. If you read Deuteronomy 26 from verse 1 till verse 10, it was emphasized in this first fruit belong to the priests. And so that is the purpose, is still the purpose of that tithing that we mentioned. Because the priests were not working, they were not cultivating their farmland. You see, you should give one tenth to them, and then the first fruit. So by the time we bring one tenth and bring first fruits, you notice these guys will not be hungry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So one thing to pick from this thing, I'll see comes out later. I want you to take away from this study is that God never expected his ministers to be broke. That's what I'm talking about. God never. Because by the time we talk about everybody bring one tenth, hallelujah, and everybody brings first fruit, praise God, we will not be where we are today. So you notice it was about the priests and the Levites. It was about the priests and the Levites. You see, so it was actually something they did to bring to the priests. I will not dwell much on this. You find first fruit again mentioned Proverbs 3 verse 9. Proverbs 3 verse 9. But I'll come to these two when I'll be closing. Proverbs 3 verse 9. He said, honor the Lord with thy substance and what? The first fruits of all your increase. And so it was actually a thing of honor. They were to bring it as a means to honor God. And it was to be given to the priest, but it was to be done out of honor. Out of honor. Out of honor. You see, and you find out that this is all. You will not find first fruit again being taught in the four gospels. You won't see that. Jesus didn't even mention it. He didn't mention it. Not once. You see, not once. And then in the epistles, first fruit was mentioned a lot. But it was never mentioned as an offering. Or let me say, as food. I'll just show you like five mentions of first fruit in the Bible, in the epistles. First is Romans 8:23. Romans 8:23. Because some people have gone to the point that it's now first fruit. And the problem with, let me tell you, my problem with tithing first fruit. The problem is not doing it, because which I will close with. The problem is the causes attached to them if you don't do them. I'll close with that, but let me ask you, is there anything wrong with bringing your first salary of the year to the church? Is there anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Is there anything wrong with deciding that when I get paid, I'm going to give, I'm paid $200,000, I want to give $10,000 to church every month? Is there anything wrong with that? No. The problem is the blessing and the causes you attach to those things. I get the point. So once you make it a law, look at about first fruit in Romans 15:3, he said, and not only they, but ourselves, which have what? What do we have? Is that about offering? Is that about money? No. I won't even explain it. I'll just leave it for you. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20. So he talks about the first fruits of the Spirit. Not about money, not about offering. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20. He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and has become what? The first fruits of them that slept. What is he talking about here? Resurrection. Is that clear? He tells you that the same way Christ resurrected, he is not the only that resurrected, he is the first. So it's called the first fruits. He's our first fruit. Do you understand that? He is the first to rise from the dead. What does that tell you? We will all rise too, right? So when we say he is the first fruit, it means he will not be the only one. The first fruit is not the only fruit, it's just the first. Are you what I'm talking about? So you see first fruit mentioned, but not used to talk about offering. You'll find it again in Romans 16 verse 5. Romans 16 verse 5. We're still looking for first fruits in the epistles where we are taught to give first fruit. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epanetus, who is who? What is he? The first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. What does this mean? They were the first of the people to get born again in that land. So in this church now, in Platform of Grace, there are first fruits. You get the point? In this church, I can say the people, because we just started this year, 10 years to come, I can look at you guys and say, well, these are the first fruits of this church. You get the point? It doesn't mean we should offer you people now. What are you talking about? You see, so he calls them the first fruits of Achaia, you see, in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15. He uses that same term to refer to believers, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15. So you see, the Spirit is referred to as the first fruit. Jesus is called the first fruit of them that slept. Believers are now called the first fruit too. 1 Corinthians, sir. Glory. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas. That it is what? The first fruits of Achaia, that same, those same people, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They are the first fruits of Achaia. They are not offerings. They are human beings. They are human beings. They are human beings. James 1 verse 18. That will be the last on this. So you find first fruits emphasized over and over again, but not as offering. Not as offering. I like this one. Of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth. That we should be what? A kind of first fruits of his creatures. Hallelujah. So he's talking about believers too. And so he thought his first fruit was emphasized, but not as offering. The apostles never practiced it. It was never even implied in the epistles. Not once. It was all about people. That's believers. Jesus being the first fruit too. You see, the Spirit. So in different contexts, that word was used, was never used as offering. Another example I've seen people use this too is what they call firstborn offering. Have you heard of that? Firstborn offering. What's the first thing in heaven? Where you give money to is redeem, ability to get whichever one redeem the firstborns and the family. You know? And you know where that's coming from? It was done in the Old Testament too. It was done. But you see, I don't know about you, but Christ is our firstborn. He is our prototokos, remember? Our prototype. He is what we look like. You see, don't redeem us. Where you find that redemption of thing happened, for instance, is about them in Egypt. I don't want to go into that story. I've done it before. When I was about to come out of Egypt, he now said they should bring, he said, they should kill a firstborn animal, he said, and put the blood on the doorpost. Then you notice in the camp of the Egyptians, all the firstborn children died. And so I guess we have to keep doing something to redeem the firstborn so that all of them will not die. You see, friends, if you want to pray for your firstborn children, please pray for them. There's a lot of pressure on the firstborn. Hope you know. Much pressure. And it's so much. It's so much. Firstborn, especially when they are guys. Hallelujah. First male children, so much pressure. I noticed when you're firstborn, while you're in the university, your younger ones are calling you, asking you for money. As if you're not in school like them. And you have to. So if you want to pray for your firstborn children, that's okay. But if you think that there is something happening to the firstborn, that we have to pay money to redeem them, then there is a problem. There's a problem. This is purely a practice of the law. And it was done to support the priests, that they will not go hungry. That's the first fruit. Hallelujah. And so we come to a conclusion that tithing and first fruits were not practiced at all in the early church. And I don't know about you, whatever they didn't do in the early church, whatever the apostles did not do, the Bible says that we are founded on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So anything the apostles never taught, we will not teach. Hallelujah. You know, somebody was asking me, is it not possible that there is something that the Holy Spirit did not show the apostles that he can show us? I said, well, I'm not going to argue with you whether it's possible or not. But all I know is that I will not teach that one. If I'm done understanding everything they've written down, I can die. And if I've made everybody in this church to understand fully everything the apostles have communicated, what are we living for? Let's die. Hallelujah. Because you are not done understanding simple Romans, Ephesians, Galatians. You want to go and see all that things that the Holy Spirit did not tell them. And once you get into that, Spirit told me in my room. You see those people? Be afraid of them. And I used to joke those days. I say, if the Spirit told in your room, please keep it in your room. Don't come and tell us what the Spirit told you in your room. If he told you in your room, it means it's for you alone. Hallelujah. Keep it for yourself. This one, the Spirit told us in the Word. So it's for all of us. Hallelujah. The Word and the Spirit, they do not quarrel. I said it in Zoe 2017. They are not quarreling. The Word and the Spirit, they are not in conflict. Actually, the Word is the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? The Word of God is the Spirit. And so God cannot lead outside his Word. And so you find out, so if we check the epistles, and I explained to you, when we mention the word, we draw our conclusion from the epistles. Remember I said that last week? And so if we check the epistles, and we cannot find some things emphasized, I don't know about you, but I will not go for those things. Hallelujah. And so you see, tithing and first fruits cannot be practices of the New Testament today. Hallelujah. But then let me say this to you. The fact that we don't practice these things, we are not under the law. But if you are a careful Bible study student, you will see the reason why these things were practiced under the New Testament. And you will also see that those reasons were still fulfilled in the New Testament without those laws. Do you get the point? What's the reason for tithing? The priests and the Levites and the poor. You will still come to the New Testament and you will still find commandments or instructions, let me put it that way, that will fulfill those reasons. The only difference is that we no longer do it as a law. What does that mean? It means we no longer attach blessings or curses to it. Are you still here? So there are things I notice what we can take from tithing. Some things we can pick. Why are we going to pick them? Because the tithe was not taught in the New Testament, but these things we are taught. Are you know what I'm saying? The tithe as a law was not taught. But there are some instructions that were given in the New Testament. For instance, you'll find out that one of these things that was emphasized in the New Testament was given. Tithe was not mentioned. First fruit was not mentioned, but giving was. And so while we emphasize no, Bible does not teach tithing and all that, or first fruit, the Bible teaches giving. You know, something I liked about this, you know, something about the Old Testament, because of all these tithes they had, all these laws they had the giving culture. That law has been removed. But God still expects us to have what? That giving culture, that culture of giving. For instance, they were asked to give to their priest 1/10 as a law. Now, we are not. There is no law back that says if you don't do it, I'm going to kill you now. But we are still taught to give to our ministers. I stay here. Let me just show you some scriptures. Galatians 6 verse 6. So while we are preaching, the Bible does not teach tithing. We must note that those purposes for those things were still to be fulfilled here. The purpose was for the priest. Galatians 6 verse 6. He said, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You see, it looks very complicated. Put up NLT. He said, if you are taught in the word, There is something that is required of you. You see, the same thing that I'm supposed to do with tithes, we will still do in the New Testament, but not with tithes. He said, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. I think that's very clear. That's very clear. And so you see people that are very excited. Tithing is not New Testament. And they think what that means is that you should not give to your pastor. Listen to this. You see the system that God created for them in the Old Testament, to the point that the priests and the Levites should not be broke at any time. That system should still operate. You know what I'm saying? It should operate. He said, he that is taught in the word. In fact, there's a stronger instruction with this NLT to 1 Corinthians 9 verse 11. There's a stronger instruction on this. And so we don't say if you don't tithe, your life will be tight. But we also teach that as they we are to tithe, give that tithe to the Lord, which was for the priests and the Levites, we should also give to our ministers. It's a sign that you're growing. Look at verse 11. Since we have planted spiritual seed among you, aren't we entitled to a harvest of physical food and drink? That's Paul talking. So if there is a pastor planting spiritual seed among you, the Bible uses the word entitlement. You know what I'm saying? He's entitled to it. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. If you support others who preach to you, shouldn't we have an even greater right to be supported? We have never used it. Look at what Paul is saying. He said, this church, they were doing something. They were giving to some others. Well, the main guys, that's Paul. That was, and Paul was, who was bringing the word to them. At this point, they restrained that support from them. And many church people are like that. Some people are sending money to everybody in the world. You go to a program, you sow a seed of 1,000, 10,000, this man of God comes, you give to him. But the man, the particular person that teaches you Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, you see, you've not learned this. Look at what he said. Look at next verse. Paul said they never use this right. But you must learn that for the fact that your pastor doesn't use this right, does not mean you should be stupid. Notice something, I will show you something. Look at this. If you support others who, okay, verse 13. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? Are you seeing that? And those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings. This is proper. Verse 14. We're going to read verse 14 together. 1, 2, 3, go. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who what? Benefit from it. So if you are benefiting from someone's teaching, your Bible says the Lord ordered. It's an order. I told you a few weeks ago that instructions in the Bible are not suggestions. Remember that? They are instructions, they are commands. He said the Lord ordered this. And so you see, I normally teach my people, those that started ministry, I started practicing this before I saw it in the Bible. If any man is blessing you spiritually, you must always communicate to him materially. In fact, as not once in a while, regularly. In fact, the way I put it, I used to teach my people those days, I said, place your pastor on salary, personally. Every month I'm going to send 10K, 20K, 5K, but it doesn't mean you call him and say, sir, you're my salary list too. But you see, if it will help you, you can talk to maybe his protocol or maybe even the treasurer and say, see, I want to be sending 5K to Papa every month. You get the point? If I forget it, remind me. I didn't get the point. To place yourself, he said, the Bible teaches this. You see, but I've said something. Paul told them in this church, he said, I never used this right. You remember that? But you find out that other places he used it. For instance, in Philippians 4, there are places we get to because of their attitude. There are places we get to when they bring on the rhythm, you just let them leave it. Are you getting a point? Just let them, because of their attitude. But when he got Philippians 4, look at, let's say verse 18. Or let's start from verse 12. Let's just... I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with little or plenty. That's how we are. Hallelujah. We can live on almost nothing. Verse 13. For I can do everything through Christ. If you see the context of I can do all things here, He's not talking about you can pass your exam. I'm not saying you cannot pass your exam, but that's what he's talking about in this verse. Doing not in here means what? Living with empty stomach. What this means is, Paul said, I've learned that the fact that I'm hungry will not stop me from preaching. It will not stop me from doing my work. You get the point? The fact that I am full too will not stop me. So look at verse 14. I wanted to see something. Because I've heard people say things like, well, Paul never collected offering from people. He never collected gifts. It's not true. He told the Corinthian church, I didn't do it with you. But look at this. Even so, you have done well to share with me my present difficulty. Verse 15. As you know, you Philippians, you are the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. You see, some other church didn't do it, but it was a wise church here. Are you seeing it now? Verse 16. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help. How many times? More than once. More than once. Now, verse 17. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. Okay? You will see the reward shortly. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. There is sweet smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. So he said, for now, I am generously supplied. You know, I used to tell my friends, I said, before I became a pastor, I always tell my friends, I wish we can give to our pastor to a point that he will write to us one day and say, I have all I need. Not because I'm working, but because you sent me something and it blessed me. I see the point now. And so while we teach tithing and first fruits and teach how it's no longer a part of the New Testament, we must emphasize that giving is, and primarily emphasizing the word, is giving to your minister, to your pastor. Verse 19, Paul now tells them, my God, this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs. So he was praying for them. They sent him stuffs. You see, this is where blessings come from giving. Blessings do not come from giving, because when you give, God will say, wow, because you give, I'm going to give you 10,000. Blessings come from giving in that, of course, there is eternal blessing after now because you're a giver and all that. That's the truth. You get upon judgment of Christ and all that. But blessing comes from giving here on earth in that when you give, the person you give can get excited and bless you. And then you'll be blessed, not because you gave per se, but because he prayed. You can understand now. But then actually the person praying is woman. So I used to tell you, there's a gift you give the man of God, he will pray well. Whether he's spiritual or not. Hallelujah. So this is what Paul obeyed here. That's what he did here. But then you notice giving is strongly emphasized to ministers. It's strongly emphasized. And so we must not forget that. Okay, finally on this giving to ministers in 1 Timothy 5:17. 1 Timothy 5:17. Elders who do their work well should be what? Respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. And so you see, when you have a pastor who works hard at preaching and teaching, and you do not pay him, you know why I like this, why this thing makes me laugh is the terms Paul uses the word pay. You know, you should have said give. If you say give, it's like a gift. But Paul uses what? What does that look like? Salary. It looks like you are owing your pastor. Say you pay. And you see, these are instructions given to the church. And what we mean the church, it's not just about the church placing the pastor on salary. That is necessary. You get the point? In those days of Saturday ministry, we used to say a pastor should not be paid. See, that's not true. That's not true. The Bible, if a church, I heard this from Brother Hagin once, he said, any church that does not take care of our pastor very well financially, he said there is a level of growth that church will never attain. And it's true. It's not because the Lord will shut heaven, but because there is, you know, the things of the Spirit flow in the direction of honor. So there is a level of whatever that church can never receive from that man of God. Never. And that's why you find that, I'll talk about this tomorrow in our retreat tomorrow night. That's why you find out that there are some men in their church, they do well. But when they go for outside meetings, you see more power. Have you noticed that kind of thing? It's because when they go to those meetings, they honor them so much and all that, and then you see power everywhere. When they come to that church, you commonize the man, because you commonize the man, you will commonize the anointing that he brings to. You hear the point? And so you see what he's saying? He said, elders, so you must, as a particular person, decide, I will be a giver. I would give to my pastor. And not just once in a while. I would do this on a routine. You see, so he mentions giving to the pastor. Another title you see is giving to the poor, tithing to the poor. The Bible emphasizes that we give to the poor. We give to fellow saints. In Romans 12 verse 13. So few things you are learning from these people. They were givers. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. This is very simple. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Remember, I was talking about hospitality last Thursday. Always be eager to practice hospitality. When people are in need, be eager and ready to help them. And so it's taught in the Bible. In fact, in Acts 2 verse 44, we see stories of the believers selling their things to be able to give to believers that had need. You get the point? They were, you know, that's the level of this. Look at this. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Verse 45. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They sold their property. They sold their houses. They sold their lands. They sold their phones. They sold their laptops. Not because they wanted to invest them, but why? Someone had a need. Someone had a need. You know, I'm trusting that we'll get to that point in this place. Hallelujah. I'm seriously trusting that we'll get to that point in this place. When a believer in church will have a need, and then you decide to sell your thing, not to meet your own need, but because that person has a need. You get the point? Because if we teach against tithing and first fruits, and we don't emphasize New Testament giving, you see, you are just a believer that wants to be excited. You are not growing. One sign of growth is that you are practicing what you are learning. I know what I'm saying. And so you say, don't tithe. You notice some people, how you know they are not growing and that they are just excited at knowledge is this. Before the person learns the gospel or learns about tithing or anything, he used to give 10,000 every month. Immediately he learns it. If the church see the man's 1,000, they should rejoice. That believer is not growing. He's just an excited person. It will not be long. He will stop giving up entirely. You get the point? You know, I was talking to them. I said, sometimes you see people, before you got light, if you make a pledge of 10,000, you remit it to the later. Now that you think you have light, you make a pledge of 2,000, I don't even admit it, because who will beat me when God will not judge me? You're not a growing person. You are just a believer that is excited at the things you are hearing. You know what I'm saying? You must grow. So he said they sold their property and possessions. I want us to get to this point. When I can come to a point and say, well, this guy has something I'm going to give. I'm going to sell. He has a need. I'm going to sell to give to him. And so you find out. So first of all, you learn giving from them. Another thing you learn from them is, they gave by percentages. But then, notice we don't give 10% again, right? Is that wrong? No. You can give, what I'm saying is, because the fact that I talked against tithing does not mean God is against us giving by percentages. In fact, I'm one of those pastors that recommend that you give by percentage. If you give by percentage, it organizes your giving. It organizes your financial life. You know, I got about giving your financial life. If you just give by anything that enters my hand, I'll give. You see, you might get to a point where you even begin to make pledges you cannot be able to keep. But when you give, I will say we're giving partnership, and you say my partnership is 20% of my salary. You get the point? At least you are sure that is coming. I know what I'm talking about. The only difference is that in the New Testament, we choose the percentage. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. He said, did you get what I said now? It's good to give by percentages. It's your choice. You choose. You get what you choose. The only problem is that the law will say it must be 10%. Must. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. You see that? You must each decide. In fact, the 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15, it tells them, 16 verse 2 or so, it tells them at the beginning of the first of every week, there's an amount they must set aside. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Did you see that? Is that not percentage? Are you still here? But notice how the epistles teach. They didn't say 10% of the money you've earned. What did you say? A portion. So you choose the portion. Is it very clear to us? You choose the portion. So it's not wrong to give out percentages. In fact, it's actually advice that you do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You give a percentage. And by giving a percentage will now imply that the rich will give more. Do you understand now? Because if you are giving by 30%, it means if your earning is bigger, your 30% will be bigger. And if you begin to give a percentage, you organize your fund, your finance. When you have a family, you will not just be giving by anything I drop in my hand, I just give. When you have a family, your wife knows that at the end of the beginning of every month, we give 10% of this, you get a point of 20% of this. It's a very organized form of giving. And also start practicing. So you can decide 30%, 20% of my income goes to the church. This will go to my pastor. This will go to saints that have need. This will go to my partnership, to keep the projects in the church. Have that kind of organized giving. We can learn this without practicing tithing. And finally, I'm going to say this and I want you to take it home. Notice that the gifts, one major reason why they gave first fruits was honor. I want to show you this. Numbers 18 verse 12. I also give you the harvest gifts brought by the people as offering to the Lord. I want you to put up King James. He said, the best of the olive oil, wine, and grain. Put up King James. Look at the screen. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of them, which they shall offer unto the Lord. Notice these first fruits, God expected not just be first fruits, but what? The best. Learn to give your, you learn from them. When you get money and you take the first part, it depicts honor. You get the point? It shows you are honoring God. So while we don't practice first fruits, you can be a person of honor. That's why you can decide to, that first income that enters every year, I will give to God. First part of my job, first salary of my job, is not bad. It's your decision. It cannot be made a law, but it can be your decision. That's what I said now. Do you get what I said? It's honor. In Proverbs 3 verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. Honor the Lord. In 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, those that rule well should be counted worthy of double honor. So it refers to our money, our gifts. They should be what? Gifts of honor. That tells you that when you want to give to the Lord, notice when they want to give the first fruits, they get the best of the animals. It means you don't want to give to the Lord, you bring the last, the weak animal. That's why I tell you, you don't give to God when you finish spending everything in the month, and then the change, you now say, come again, Eglin. I don't have to come over here. You know what I say? Take! You know what I cannot give? Just take. You see, he was the first and the best. So be that kind of person. So we don't practice tithing. We choose our percentages. But we are men giving to giving. I get the point? Giving to our pastors, giving to ministers, giving to fellow saints. Giving. We don't practice first fruit as though as if we don't do it, God will kill us. But we are men who give gifts of honor to the Lord. Honor the Lord with the first fruit of your income. Be that man of honor. Hallelujah. Be that person of honor. I have men of God, you know, the Reverend was telling me, he was talking about it. He said, when they wanted to get into their television ministry, you know that on TBN, right? He said, when people first gave, the first giving that people gave for that, the partner sent in for that television stuff, he said they sent it to Brother Copeland, sent it to their ministry. He said, you know why? He said, I just want to use it to honor God. You get the point? It's my gift of honor to God. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? Be that kind of person. It's not wrong to decide, I'm going to honor my pastor with the first of this. I'm going to honor my pastor with this. I'm going to honor. Be a person of honor. And so the father, we are teaching against tithing as a law. And first fruit and firstborn offering as a law. Does not remove giving from your head. Does not remove honor from your head. Be a person of honor. A man who gives to pastors, to ministers, to saints, to the church at all times. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you been blessed this evening? Let's stand to our feet and let's close. Say this with me. Say, I'm a giver. Once again, say, I'm a giver. The mistake you will make is to learn about tithing in the New Testament, or as an Old Testament, whatever, and you've not learned giving as a culture of the New Testament. That will be incomplete knowledge. Incomplete knowledge. If at the end of the day you've not known anything, you are not a wise person. Because wisdom is the right application of knowledge. So you just be somebody that knows, oh, we should not. The message of tithing is not New Testament. It's not for you to stop giving. It is for you to decide your percentage. I get the point. And give. Without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Knowing that I'm not doing this for God to bless me or to curse me, I'm just doing this. That's maturity. You know, the people under the law were not mature men. They needed a motivation for them to give. So if you give, God will bless you. If you don't give, He's going to curse you. So the blessing or the curse was the motivation. In the New Testament, we live like mature men. We don't need any motivation. We just give. I know what I'm talking about. Now, that doesn't mean blessings will not come when you give. I've shown you how that can happen. You'll be prayed for. We pray for you in this place. Blessings will come. But that will not be our motivation. That will not be our motivation. And so in New Testament, we are not saying it must be 10%. So when my money enters for the month, I begin to calculate. Let me not give more than 10%. And somebody told me that when he was tithing, that once he gives that 10%, nobody should disturb him again. And that's living under the law. But in this testament, we give. After giving any percentage we choose, when a need arises, we give again. They were giving 10%, but the guys in the book of Acts sold their houses and gave. That's where we are going to get towards something in this place. I know you are growing. Hallelujah. One day we will be able to see a believer in need. See a houseless widow in the church. See someone that wants his school fees to be paid. And sell your phone. And sell your stuffs. I've had to do this times and times with time without number. You know, those days when we're around school environment, sometimes exams will be approaching. People will just walk up to you and say, sir, school fees. Sometimes you just have to say, sell your phone. We've done it. I'm a person that believes, I don't believe in selling my properties. I believe if you sell your property, you'll never be rich in this life. But then things have made me sell my properties. You see people in need. People who are dying. You know, get up and most importantly, when they're believers. We see in the same church. I don't give it to them as a pastor. As a pastor, the only thing I owe them might be the word. But as a believer, I must look out for them. I know what I'm talking about. I should. So by person given to giving. So let me ask you, how has it been with giving? How far with giving to your pastor? How far, if your pastor begins to count his financial blessings for the year, I hope you will be counted too. Be a person that gives. If believers in church begin to count their financial blessings for the church, I hope you'll be counted. If we as a church begin to bless God for the blessings we have in this church, I hope you will be counted. There are people that are in a church, they can do any other thing but give. Don't be such a person. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I'm a giver. Once again, say, I'm a giver. To have a culture, say, giving is my culture. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise in tongues all over this place.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.